It's a great, great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. We're going to read tonight in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 7. Now, next week's Mother's Day, right? And so we're only going to have a morning service because you're going to all celebrate Mama and fetch and tote and feed her and celebrate her and do all kind of wonderful things for her, right? Right. So, just one Sunday service next week and a celebration for Mama. Love her while you got her. They don't last forever. Celebrate her while you can. Think of new and creative and glorious ways to celebrate her. If you can't think of any, ask her. She will help you. Hebrews 13, we're making our way through the last portions of the book of Hebrews. We'll read verse 5 and 6 tonight. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, or for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Somebody say, God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, my God said, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, and I believe him. Do you really believe that? And Paul, and he goes on to say, so that, or because of this, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And so somebody boldly say tonight, the Lord is my helper. I almost stumbled into Psalms, but the Lord is my helper. Say that.
The Lord is my helper.
Praise the Lord, Tyler. So good to see you tonight. You got baptized in Jesus' name this morning. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And we had like five kids off the Moody bus route got baptized this morning in Jesus' name. We had to buy new chairs this week so we'd have enough chairs for people to sit in. Isn't that an incredible, wonderful thing? We don't have room. We need more room. We need more stuff. We need a big building on a hill somewhere. If you're not familiar with it, over in this little red building, one night Brother Mark Morgan was just tearing it up. He was just preaching, and he stopped in the middle of that message, and he pointed at me, and he said, Brother Sutton, God is going to give you guys a building on a hill. And then a couple of years later at ARC, I think we were in Cullman, he's preaching. I'm sitting over here with the preachers, and he stops in the middle of a great sermon and turns around and says, Brother Sutton, God is still going to give you guys that building on a hill. Well, I don't know if you've ever driven up by the Church of Christ, but it's on a pretty good hill. And at 10 cents on the dollar, if we sell this one and move laterally, I'm going to consider that he gave it to us. You do what you want to do with that, but God is true. God never leaves, never forsakes us. God is our helper. So then his conclusion is, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is good. God never fails. God is always with us. He is my helper. Because of my knowledge of God, I can say the Lord is my helper. And I won't fear what man can do unto me. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, for your word. Praise God. Boy, these little biddies are memorizing the word of God. Isn't that outrageous? This little crowd up here memorizing hundreds of scriptures. Just an amazing day, a wonderful thing God is doing here. I'm so glad to be a part of it. So the admonition here from the writer, maybe Paul, let your conversation, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Covetousness is one of the prohibitions of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And coveting is wanting something beyond, looking out beyond, not satisfied with what you have. And don't make me qualify all of that. Just simply thinking in terms of somebody else and what they have and what they experience. And the fact that you covet or you desire what they have. Somebody else's lot in life or somebody else's situation in life. And it's that mentality is a negative orientation. That mentality misses the provisional quality of the word of God in your life. That mentality of covetousness says, if I only had and fill in the blank, then I could do or I could be. And that dismisses the idea that God is in control of your life. And God is the missing element in your life. And God is all that you need. Does there anybody here believe that God is enough? That God is what you need? I don't need what somebody else has. I need my own from God. I don't need what you have. I need my own pouring out or dispensation or anointing or blessing from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Covetousness is the result of a life philosophy that we would call zero sums. It means it's kind of like socialists think. Socialists think that there's just a certain pool of resource or money, and that if you get some, I lose some. And for you to get more means I get less. But you don't understand the capitalist system or the free market system, because the free market system creates wealth. Now, you may not understand that, but we're about to the place where our American population may well elect a socialist. And it speaks of the fact that we're living in a nation that has lost an abundance mentality. And now they're looking across and they're saying, well, if he had less, I would have more. But that's not a godly attitude. That's covetousness. If only I had this or that, then I could be. No, sir. No, ma'am. I can be everything God's called me to be right here in the middle of the place where I'm standing right now. Don't you put God on hold because you don't have whatever the thing is. Don't you put God on hold. Don't put the call of God on hold. Don't put the goodness of God or the potential of the kingdom of God on hold. We've got everything that we need because we've got God in our lives. I can't do it, God, because I don't have thus and so. If I had his whatever, then I could do. If I had her whatever, then I could be what God. That is a zero sums mentality. That's a negative mentality as opposed to an abundance mentality. The beginning of covetousness is insecurity about what you have. The beginning of covetousness is discontent with what you have. But if you're a child of God, now if you live in the world, be discontent all you want because you're living at a deficit every day of your life. But if you're a child of God, you need to learn to say, I have enough. God is enough. This is a launching pad. This is a place of beginning. I stand upon the platform of the word of God, and my potential is before me, and I can be and do anything because God is in my life. Somebody shout a little bit about that right now. Covetousness is out of insecurity. Covetousness is out of a sense of lacking, like you don't have enough. But when you've got God, friend, you've got everything that you need. It's the devil that tells you you don't have enough. It's you looking at the world around you thinking you don't have enough. It's you looking in the mirror thinking you don't. But I want you to know it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith God. Somebody shout right now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, shout that right now. In the middle of your trouble, in the face of your adversary, in a time of pressure, you need to say, I got it, because I've got God in my life. The beginning of covetousness is a preoccupation with the negative to focus on what I don't have. You need to get your head turned around and begin singing the song of what you do have. David said, he's put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. You need to begin to quit bellyaching about what you don't have and begin to praise God about what you do have. I know a lot about God. I'm going to tell you this. If you're bellyaching about what you don't have, you're going to keep what you don't have, and you're not going to get any more. Here's a little riddle for you out of Matthew 13. He said, unto him who hath, more shall be given and in abundance. And to him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away. Say, well, that's not a good socialist model. God's a capitalist. God's a capitalist. He gives you talents. You better go and make an increase on them. If you just bring God back what he gave you without an increase on it, he said, you're going to go to hell. Well, that's shocking, kind of brutal. God's a capitalist. This thing starts in the garden. We worked this in the Bible study, but if you're interested, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And so here is the common methodology that God uses. He is a God of abundance. The first thing he says is, you can have everything in the garden except this one thing. Now, if that's the case, then you should be rocking and praising and excited every day of your life about everything you have and stay far away from the thing you can't have. But what's human nature? What's fallen nature? What did the devil say when he came? Chapter 3, verse 1, has the Lord said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. Technically, what he said was true, because if there is one excluded, then it's not every tree of the garden. So he technically tells the truth. But God's mentality is an abundance mentality. Satan's mentality is on the restriction. The focus is on the restriction. The one thing you can't have. My goodness gracious, little apostolic girls with blessings living in America, not living in some squalid third world hut somewhere. And they're choking over what they don't have. You know where that comes from. That comes from the enemy of your soul. You need to tell that to shut up. And you need to begin to count your blessings. Count them, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Praise God. The devil will make you focus on what you don't have. But God wants you to look at the abundance that he's given you and the treasure that is the promise of God in your life. Praise God. So Adam and Eve got caught up in focusing on what they didn't have, what they couldn't have. And there is in your buried within your human nature the capacity to lose everything good over one thing that is restricted from you, the thing that you can't have. But that's hell's priority. That's hell's perspective. That's not heaven's. A biblical perspective is, I'm good because God is with me. Our title or our text tonight, I'll never leave you. Be content with what you have, because God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The Lord is my helper. Listen, I've got everything I need. A biblical perspective is, I'm good. My life is good. Things are good because God is with anybody here. Can you say God is with you? Does anybody have God in your life? Does anybody have the promise of God in your life? Praise God. No, you didn't understand me. I said, is God with you? Is God for you? Do you belong to God? Do you bear his name? Are you filled with his spirit tonight? That's what I want to know. If that's the truth, then you need to stand and say, I've got everything I need. God is with me. It's going to be all right. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Don't you understand that all of this is tethered together? I'm good. God's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. God is enough. God has to be enough for you. People backslide every day because they come to a place where they don't understand or they don't believe that God is enough. But I want you to know and understand tonight, God is enough. You don't need more money. You need more God. Now, there may be some provision that you need, but God knows all about that, and God's going to make that happen. But you never need to distill your life down to a point where you're feeling blue or you're not satisfied or you're discontent with what God has given you and the promise of God in your life because of something that you do not have. Don't focus on what you don't have. Stand in the middle of what you do have and make that grow and make that come alive in the kingdom of God. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I can do them all. I can be abased. I can be poor. I can be wealthy. I can live for God on both ends of the continuum. I can be full. I can be hungry. And God is still good and God is in my life. Detach your faith from natural circumstance and make your praise and your worship a constant in your life. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Faith is not a roller coaster ride. Faith is regardless of circumstance. My God is good and my God is with me. And today's a great day because God is in my life. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Magnify him. It is in this conversation that Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him I can do all things. Tell him I've got enough. Tell him God is enough. We're big enough. We're strong enough. We've got enough. It's going to be enough because God is enough. There is no enemy that can raise a weapon against me that's going to prosper because God is enough. God's shield is big enough. God's strength is strong enough. God's provision is great enough. God's promise is great enough. I've got everything I need because I've got God in my life. Somebody say, God is enough. God's enough when all I have is God. 1 Timothy 6 and 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Your money is not great gain. Your real estate is not great gain. A successful year in business is not great gain. What great gain is having God and being content with what God is doing in your life. God may have a season of instruction. God may have a valley of trial for you. God may have a place he's bringing you to. God may bring you down into a desert to find an Ethiopian eunuch riding in a chariot. God may take you places you wouldn't go yourself. You may spend a little time in a hospital. You will, if you live long enough, walk down to the graveyard. But I will tell you this, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you've got God and you're content in God, that is great gain. God is enough when all I have is God. God is enough when God says no. Paul sought God three times for a problem in his body, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul's response is then, most gladly, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmities. Quit griping about your infirmities. He said, I'll glory that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Even in a valley of trouble, the God mindset turns it upside down and says, the devil's saying this is a bad place. And you're saying, no, I'm right in a perfect place. The devil says you're positioned poorly. And you say, no, ma'am, no, sir, I'm positioned perfectly because I belong to God. If you are, it doesn't matter where you are, what your circumstance is tonight, where you are, if you've got God, you've got enough. You've got, come on, somebody say, I got everything I need. Somebody poke your finger in the devil's eye and say, I got everything I need. I've got more than I need. God is able. God is good. God is perfect in all his ways. And I'm going to praise him and magnify him. And I'm not going to sing the blues. And I'm not going to enumerate my wants and my needs. And I'm not going to focus on what I don't have. I've got an abundance mentality. God owns it all. Praise God. God is enough when the hedge is down. You ask Job. He crawls out from under the rubble. And he said, God gives it and God takes it away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Job is a street fighter. He just got dragged down an alley and beaten with 2x4s. And he climbs up out of it. He says, still think God is good. I still think God is enough. I still think I've got every... Some of you been beaten up. Some of you been emotionally or spiritually beaten up. And you're feeling the wounds and you're feeling the blues about that right now. But you need to shake yourself. And you need to climb up out of the rubble. And you need to say, my God is still enough. Come on, ring the bell. Let's fight another round. Come on, come on, come on, let's do this again. Where is my adversary? Bring him near to me. Let's get this thing on. Come on, you need to say, you can't steal my victory. You can't steal my faith. You can't steal from me what God has given to me. God is enough. The only place you lose in this is if the enemy can convince you to join in his song. Well, I don't have enough, and I'm not enough. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough help. Nobody's helping me. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough attention. I don't have enough affirmation. Nobody's telling me good things. Nobody tells me how pretty I am. Makes me want to sing. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Why do you treat me like a worn out shoe? My hair is still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me? Or maybe I shouldn't say. The only way you can lose at this is if the devil strikes up the chord and you begin to sing the blues with him. You just got to draw yourself a line and say, devil, I've got all I need. You've got to say, I've got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. I know all the needs of Maslow, and I know we're gregarious by nature, and I know you have basic, essential human needs, and I'm not insensitive to that, but I'm talking about faith tonight and tough-mindedness, and you've got to get a little steel in your backbone, and you can't live for God if you're a weakling about this. You can't fold up and get in some corner and say, nobody loves me, and everybody hates me, and I think I'll eat some worms. You can't be like that and live for God. You got to square your shoulders and step up. Come on, little mama. Come on, daddy. Come on, child of God. Step up and say, I've got everything I need because I've got God in my life. Oh, somebody ought to shout on the devil's head right now. Somebody ought to praise God right now and magnify him. I've got everything. I've got everything. I've got God. I've got everything that I need. Clap your hands till they hurt a little bit. Shout with your voice until you think God hears you. Hear that devil. Hear that devil. We got everything because we've got a God that never fails. Take a praise break. Somebody dance a little bit. Somebody shout a little bit. Open your mouth while you're doing it. Say, I got enough. He's enough. Come on, open your mouth. God's big enough. God's got enough. God is enough. I've got everything I need. I've got everything I need. I've got God in my life. This does not affirm your victim status. You can't live for God and be involved in victim status. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. I've been offended. I was betrayed. Dawson testified to you tonight. Everybody that should have blessed him and helped him and nurtured him turned on him. And that story is repeated over and over again. And he could be sitting out somewhere in a dark corner tonight, justified in bad behavior, justified in a backslidden state, justified in anything he wants to do, because the world and the devil will tell you, you get a free pass because you've been hurt, you've been injured, you were dressed funny when you were a child, something weird happened to you, and there are serious things, you were molested or you were abused as a child. I can't imagine the horror and the terror of that, but I can tell you, I can look right down into the pit of that trouble tonight and I can yell at you, God is enough. You got to come up out of that pit. No self-pity. No fatal focus on what you don't have or what happened to you or how bad it was. If you don't get a forward-looking perspective, you will not live for God. And in the middle of a 1,000-year stretch in hell, maybe you'll come to the realization, this is heaven or hell. You've got to get this right. You've got to eat the fat and drink the sweet. You can't mourn when you're talking about the things of God. You've got to understand the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't let anything or anybody steal your joy. You got to get up every day with a fixed mind, a made up mind. I'm going to walk in the truth of God right now. I'm going to walk in the promise of God right now. Ain't nothing going to turn me around. You got to say God is enough when the hedge is down. You got to take it to the wall. Job does. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even as I step into the maw of death, God is enough, because I know he's already kicked him in the head. I know he's already knocked the doors off the hinges there. You've got to understand this. You've got to embrace this. God is more than enough. The prophet told the young protege prophet, he said, there are more that are with us than those that are with them. Do you believe that tonight? It's not that God is, Lindsay, come help me tonight. It's not that God is just enough. It's God is more than enough. You don't just have exactly what you need. You've got more than you need. Our God is a God of abundance. Our God is a God of plenty. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody shout, my God is more than enough. Somebody say now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My God is able. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. But the tail end of that scripture is according to the power that worketh in us. What I say and how I believe God and my response to God is the catalyst that makes that verse true in my life. Nobody else can affirm that and make that true for me. It's only true for me if I embrace it, if I appropriate it. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly above, but I've got to say yes to him. I've got to get up on a Monday morning. I've got to walk into the place where I work, and I've got to say it ain't about the boss, and it ain't about the paycheck, and it ain't about the neighbors, and it's not about the trouble on any hand. What it's about is the fact that my God is able, and he's big enough, he can handle it all. If I need another job, God's going to give me another job. If I need more, God's going to give me more, and in abundance. My God, is there anybody here that believes the word of God? Peter gives us an abundance greeting. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. You understand what he's saying? You get this down in your knowledge base, and grace is going to be multiplied to you. And peace is going to be multiplied. And how can the things of God be multiplied? Because there is a direct connection between how I approach God and how God approaches me. Between how much I believe God and what God is able to do in my life. My God, you've got to clear out the clouds of doubt and despair and blame and fault and trouble and past and all of those hindering things. And you've just got to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, world. My God is a God of abundance. My God is a God of promise. He's a God of plenty, and he's got everything that I need. Somebody say yes. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, say his divine power, has given us all things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. I can live life because God's given me everything I need to live life. I can live a godly life because God's given me everything I need that pertains to life and godliness. Do you know he's prepared it all from the foundation of the earth? Do you know he saw you coming and he already has everything you need? Do you understand that he saw next Thursday coming from thousands of years ago, and he's got a box with your name on it and the key is in your hand, and all you've got to do is walk into that day and say, my God is enough. My God is a God of plenty. My God never loses. My God is always able. Come on, somebody believe that tonight. Through the knowledge of him, it's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We've got promises, exceeding great, precious promises. Praise God. You know what's hanging over your Monday? Like a thundercloud, pregnant with rain. It's just hanging there, waiting to break loose. Exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know what's hanging over your Tuesday and your Wednesday and your Thursday? The promise of God, the abundance of God, the anointing of God, the way-making power of God, every good thing you have need of, everything that pertains to life and godliness is hanging over your life, brooding over you like a cloud. If you'll lift up your face and begin to say, God, let it rain. God, let it rain blessings. God, let it rain promise. God, you quit singing the blues. You quit talking about what's not. You quit listing all the reasons it can't be. You're your own best friend, and you're your own worst enemy. The devil doesn't have anything to do with it. He gets way too much credit, and he is relegated to a far too powerful place. You need to understand that if God has said it, all he needs now is somebody that'll embrace it and say, I believe it, God. I'm going to walk in it. Praise God. Praise God. When I asked you to pray a while ago, we talked about a scripture that says, you have not because you ask not. You don't believe God is able. You know what the saddest thing in the world to me is? Somebody that wants to be an apostolic and does not have a prayer life. You can be a social Pentecostal, a cultural Pentecostal. You can sit in the house, but you're going to be like that man at the wedding feast. When the Lord came, he found him without a wedding garment on. Sitting here in the house of God, oozing and dripping and running with promise and goodness and blessing and anointing, and you won't even take the time to bow your knee and pray to God. Oh, it's up to you. It's all on your shoulders. Now listen, he told Thomas, he said, now Thomas, you believe because I appeared from the dead in front of you. and you shot your mouth off and said, I won't believe unless I touch his nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side. But you notice when Jesus appeared, Thomas didn't do any of that. He just fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, blessed are you, Thomas. You're blessed because you've seen. It's a good thing that you believe. You believe because you've seen. But blessed is he that believes and hasn't seen. He's talking about you. We weren't there in the upper room. We weren't there when Jesus appeared to them, risen from the dead. We weren't there when he came walking on the water. We weren't there when he cast the legion out of the man of Gadara. But I'll tell you, I may not have been there, but I've read the book and I believe the testimony of the word of God. I may not live in AD 30, but I live in 2016, and I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe God is still a miracle worker. I believe God is still a healer. I believe he's a way maker. I believe God is a good God who always takes good care of his people. Clap your hands, clap your hands. Somebody shout. Somebody say, I've got enough. Somebody say, God is enough. Well, I only have a stick. Somebody say, a stick's enough. All you got to have a stick, and God can part the Red Sea. All I've got is a sling. You don't need the armor of Saul. You don't need the equipment of an army. All you need is God. I'm just telling you, look down in your hand tonight and think about what you have. What do you have? You may just have empty vessels. I read a story in the Word of God where that's all they needed was empty vessels. Go and borrow empty vessels and borrow not a few. Bring them all into the house, and you know God filled up those empty vessels. You may say, my pot is empty. Well, man, you're perfectly positioned for a miracle right now. I've already read it in the Word of God. You may only have a little sack lunch with a few loaves and fishes. But friend, you got enough to feed a multitude, because our God is enough. Somebody say, he's enough. Somebody say, he's enough. That's the one. You want to crank that up right now. Okay. Into the meat of it. There you go. We're just doing a little talking about the music. He's a great God, and he deserves great praise. We're going to do that a little bit tonight. Somebody bring your sack lunch. Somebody bring your staff. Somebody bring your empty vessel. Somebody bring your need. Somebody bring your want. Somebody bring your little paltry handful and see what God can do with it tonight. Come on. Nobody sitting. Nobody weeping. Nobody mourning. Get out in the aisle. Worship and magnify God tonight. tonight. Somebody with a need, bring your need down to this altar tonight and open your mouth and say, my God is able. My God is enough. Come on.
Oh, he's
come
a great
on.
Big God. He's a great big God. Oh, he's a great big God. And I owe you my praise. Pray God. Pray God. Pray God. Pray God. We sing hallelujah. You're the servant, pray God. Hallelujah. You the servant.
Pray God.
Pray, pray. Hallelujah.
Come on, if you got a need, I want you to bring it down to this altar tonight. Come on, come on. And I want you to turn to somebody by you and tell them, I got a need and I'm standing in the need of prayer. And I want some Holy Ghost filled Jesus name apostolic to lay their hands on your sister, your brother tonight. And I want you to tell them, our God is enough. Our God is able. Our God can do the work. Our God is a healer. Our God, come on, pray with somebody tonight. Lay your hands on them. Talk in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost move in that prayer.